what we're doing here this morning. Coming to work. Those of you staying home on your weekend, so we can put a little smile on your face. Put a little tap in your toe, a little skip in your step. Right here at Rosie on the House. Good morning, Arizona. We've cleared all the lines, and I'd like to hold the lines open and clear because we've got a special guest in this hour. We're going to talk about a particular topic. If you want to know about air conditioning and how it is changing, those are the ones of you, those are the homeowners of you I want to visit with this hour. We've got Todd Russo of Rias Home Performance and Air Conditioning in studio with us this morning. Our number is 1-888-767-4348. Todd, thanks for joining us. Coming in on Saturday morning, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I got busted bad a couple months ago because someone asked me on air, Rosie, explain air conditioning. So I went into compressors and freons and expanding gas and evaporative coils and condensation. And he called me after the show. He said, Rosie, I was more confused after your explanation. So I came back the next week, and I tried to reduce it to something simpler.
Right.
And then you know Brad Porter at Integrity Air Conditioning.
Sure.
He calls, and he says, Rosie, you're still making it too complicated. Air conditioning is moving heat from point A to point B.
That's all you're doing.
You know, you can't get it any easier than that. But why does it cost us so much here on the desert floor, below the Mogollon Rim, here in the beautiful state of Arizona? Why does it cost us so much to do that?
I would almost say the simple answer is because it's 115 degrees outside and you're trying to make it 75 inside, right?
Yeah, you are.
And you're doing it in a box that's probably not well insulated and probably doesn't hold the heat well or hold the heat out well.
Some of these technologies that are coming out, you know, we've seen a big change in the compressor engineering and the compressor families in the last 10, 15 years.
Correct.
I mean, when air conditioning came mainline, and that would be in the late 50s, mid 60s. I mean, I can remember starting my construction trade in the early 70s. I would have to tell you, most of the homes I was working on that had been built in the 50s and 60s, they were still all evap cooled.
Right.
Air conditioning was not mainstream even in Phoenix until the late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
So we're putting huge oversized air conditioners on homes because that's what we did back then. We turned them on. And we let them just run constant.
Right. And you know, the original units that we used to see a lot of in the 70s and the 80s, I mean, the ghetto units, they would run forever. They would have really durable motors that would consume a lot of energy. And they never broke, and they worked, and they produced cold. Right?
They were bulletproof.
Right. And, you know, as efficiency standards have changed over time, that the motors become a little different. They're not quite the same quality. And of course, energy goes up, so you've got to make equipment more efficient. So technology has changed the way we deliver cooling.
Now, in moving heat, if air conditioning is moving heat from point A to point B, we do it with air conditioning by use of a compressor. And it is that compressor that is so expensive. That's what spikes your energy consumption up.
Correct. I mean, what uses energy in an air conditioning system, effectively, you have two motors and you have a compressor, right? Those are what consume the energy. Motor on the inside unit that blows the air, and motor on the outside unit that takes the air across the coil. And I'm going to try to not make it too complicated, but effectively, like you said, you're moving heat, and that compressor allows a compression system that takes from vapor to gas, or excuse me, from fluid to gas. And what that allows is that allows the heat to move outside the house itself. And you're using the refrigerant to carry the heat. And, of course, an air conditioning also removes moisture. That's another part of it. I actually took a funny picture the other day. I was watching my air conditioning system drip water from its condensing, you know, the condensing line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, wow, that thing's really, really kicking in August. I put a large garbage can underneath my my condensing PVC line.
Yeah.
And the garbage can filled up in a day and a half, 2 days.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, 50 gallons of water. So we don't take into consideration that much that in July and August, our air conditioning systems also remove a lot of moisture out of the air, too. So,
which is a big part of making your inside comfortable.
Yeah, and the easiest way to discuss or explain how much humidity takes into consideration, everybody says it's a dry heat, right? We actually have 35, 40% humidity this time of year. But when it's 100 degrees in Houston, it feels a whole lot hotter when it's 100 degrees in Arizona, right?
Absolutely.
So we've got to remember, we also got to remove the moisture, too.
Okay, so the compressors, what's
okay,
expensive?
Okay, sorry, back to the compressor.
I want people to understand, it's the starting of the compressor that really is the expensive part of the air conditioning mode. That's why when we were in the 50s and 60s, thinking, okay, let's just put an oversized air conditioning unit on it. Then we can get this house to any temperature we want on any particular day. We're basically putting an air conditioner on a house that's designed to operate for 15 or 20 days a year at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But we're putting it up there to have it take care of us all year long.
Right, right. We designed to the worst case scenario. Right?
Yeah, you have
to. So we designed to 110, 40% humidity at 4 o'clock. The reality is, when your compressor starts up, when your air conditioning system starts up, it uses 7 times more electricity when it starts than when it actually runs. Okay?
So did y'all hear that? 7 times. So the key is, don't let it go on. Or when it goes on, let it run.
You want to let it run, right. And when it runs longer, it removes the humidity. It makes the house feel more comfortable even. But back to the compressor analogy and the sizing analogy, correct. We have to design systems so that when it's 110, we're going to keep that house the desired set point. So if you want to keep your house 75 degrees on July 29th, we've got to size the system for that. Now, the problem is, on July 29th, when it's 12 o'clock in the evening or 8 o'clock in the evening, it's not the same temperature outside, right? So we're oversized on the same day, just at a different hour of the day, whether it be the morning or the afternoon or the evening. And then, of course, believe it or not, your house actually, room by room, has different demand characteristics throughout the day as well, as the solar radiant heat of the sun changes position. So on the east side of the house, you have a certain demand for air conditioning out in the morning than you will in the afternoon. So it goes beyond just time of day and beyond just day of the year. It's actually specific to the location of the house. So it's a moving target. And so, unfortunately, the systems that we've been installing up to today, most of them have been what are called single stage pieces of equipment, which means they have an on position and they have an off position. It's either full speed or it's no speed, right?
Right.
So that's where we're seeing a lot of change in the technology, is that we're getting into what's called variable or modulating or inverter technology, where the systems actually can go from effectively a one-ton air conditioning or a small air conditioning system that can service one room up to, say, a 5-ton air conditioning that can service, in some circumstances, up to a 3,000-square-foot house.
There's the shoulder seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Say that fast 3 times. The shoulder seasons, the March and the Septembers, the Mays and the Octobers, where you don't need 5 tons of air conditioning to satisfy the thermostat and the desired temperature you want in the house. So these newer units will operate at that reduced capacity.
Correct.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's tough to try to come up with an analogy. I guess the only one I could really think of is in March, I'll say it like this. If you have a family of 4 and you're trying to buy a car, if you're going on a family vacation to San Diego, you probably need a Suburban to keep everybody happy and have the space you need to bring all of the bikes and everything you need. Well, you don't need a Suburban to go pick up a cup of coffee down the street, right?
That's right.
But you're stuck buying a Suburban if you're going to buy a Suburban. So, with air conditioning systems, the same analogy. You're buying a Suburban and you're driving that thing to work at 10 miles a gallon every time, even if you don't need that much space.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a couple of people that are on hold, want to talk with some air conditioning questions. We have a call from Tucson. Manny. Good morning, Manny. Welcome to Rosie on the House. What are you working on around the house?
Okay, good morning. I have an air conditioning unit that I haven't used for like 3 years. And I was just wondering, if I turn it on, will I hurt anything in it?
Probably not.
I was just, it ran good before that. And I was scared that they say if you don't, you don't turn it on every year, something might go bad.
Yeah.
Possibly. Obviously, we always tell everyone, you need to maintain your system every year and make sure that the refrigerants are correct, make sure the electrical components are working correct, making sure
the
system is
correct. Cutting out on me, sir.
I said we always tell all of our clients, and we always recommend that every year you have maintenance performed on the system. It is a mechanical piece of equipment, So there are a lot of moving parts. We got to make sure the refrigerant levels are correct. We got to make sure the electrical components are operating correctly. But in theory, it should operate fine. I mean, I guess the one, maybe you could have a contactor that could be stuck, which that would be my biggest fear.
Manny, because you're a listener to Rosie on the House, here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to have you call the service department of our Rosie Certified Air Conditioning Contractor down in Tucson. The company's Intelligent Design. The number's 333-2665. You can find them at rosieonthehouse.com. And Manny, I tell you what we're going to do. Jennifer is going to pay for a service call at your house. We're not going to pay for any replacement parts that the unit may need, but we're going to pay to have the technician show up at the house and do an assessment and verify that it is safe and prepared and ready to turn on, okay? I don't think you can do any better than that. Again, the Rosie Certified Air Conditioning Contractor in Tucson is Intelligent Design. Down in Green Valley, it's Green Valley Cooling and Heating. And then in Casa Grande, it's Desert Sun Cooling and Heating. So we've got it all covered through Southern Arizona. You can find them all at rosieonthehouse.com. Manny, thanks for the call. We've got another air conditioning question in Glendale. Let's bring Bud into the con. Oh, no, we can't. Bud, hang on 1 minute. I've talked right through into the middle of what is now supposed to be a commercial break. I better stop now.